Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Fido to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason, you know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it, tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Survivor Stock Watch podcast. I'm your host Aaron Armstrong and we are here today to talk through episode 4. I think, right? Yeah, episode 4 of Survivor season 44. And it's episode 4 of Survivor season 44 Stock Watch. It's all fours. I wonder how many fours we're going to give out today because we're going to rate the players based on how well we think they're doing in the game. From 1 to 10.
Yay.
With four being an option, with me to do so is Chantal. How are you doing, Chantal?
I'm doing really well. I feel like 444 is quite auspicious. And so I feel like it's the perfect time for me to come in, rank these players, especially with our Jamie Lynn using her magic wand this episode. So 444 is a magic number. Let's rank these players.
Yeah, you nailed it.
I literally was sitting there like, Jamie. Bing! It happened. I have a magic wand. And so when I go, bing, things happen.
And that's what happened. It's this pod together.
That was my very first soundbite of the season.
I am going to be the next soul survivor. Bing, how are you going to do it? I'm going to build personal emotional connections. Bing, 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 bing.
I mean, I'm starting to believe it more. We'll see.
She really likes her bings.
Big bings.
Do you think she's like a secret Microsoft employee trying to like do some underground marketing for the new Bing AI search?
I mean, okay, an AI search engine would be great, but like I'm so anti-Bing. I'd rather ChatGPT. So no, I do not think that she is trying to infiltrate our minds.
That's what they would say, I think.
That's true.
They were. Yeah. Well, as I said, we're here to rate the players based on how well we think they're doing in the game. Of course, we are at the mercy of the edit, but we do our best. How did you like the episode, Chantal?
I like the episode for the most part. I've liked the season for the most part. I think that the cast of characters are pretty fun. I'm not sure how I feel about them being sent on this journey and then they all get all this power and then they come back. Like, I just am not sure if I enjoy all these things that production is putting into the game. Yes, it's making it chaotic and like wild and what's going to happen. But sometimes for me, I just like it to be a little bit more bare bones and just get to see players interact and play. But it's enjoyable. We had a lot of things that happened this episode that were really, really fun. So on a whole, yes, I'm enjoying it. Too many stuff going on. A little bit, but it was still a good episode, in my opinion.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they have really stopped trusting the players to, like,
be interesting. Yeah. Like, they're good. Like, that's what I started out with watching these reality shows, these competitive reality shows. It's like, I love the fact that the person, like me, I could go in there and play, and that's enough. Me being there would be enough to get me the win, not needing to have all these trinkets and doodads and idols and nullified. Like, you wouldn't need all those things in order to get the win. And that's what I really liked about these reality shows. Like, your social game can really help you, or, you know, these competition wins could help you, but it's you, you're kind of in the driver's seat. And now it just feels a little bit more like all the gimmicks are in the driver's seat, which, yes, it's entertaining because it's just kind of wild and all over the place, but I kind of like when the players can have a little bit more agency in their game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a very forced situation here, as in this episode, we're going to see a tribe swap, but more of a player swap. So one player from each tribe swaps to a new tribe, but with an idol that can only be played pre-merge, meaning they basically are setting up a very specific scenario where obviously the tribe where you switch to is going to want to vote you out, but you have an idol that they're almost forcing you to play, which is narrowing the possibilities for what can happen to a very specific outcome most of the time, right? So like, they really wanted something like this to happen. Now, I will say, for me at least, this was like probably my favorite episode of the season so far. But like, that's not saying a lot, because I was kind of underwhelmed with most of the episodes. I think that, like, in terms of what they're going for in the way that they're editing the show and the way that they're structuring the game, this was probably the most successful version of that. But maybe almost because they leaned into it even more, that it's like, this is less about personal relationships and less about, like, you know, understanding the strategy of what's happening, and more about the, you know, episode to episode strategic dilemmas that they would like to present us with that are very surface level. And in that sense, I feel like this one worked the best, but it was also perhaps the most egregious example.
Well, and also though, like, I personally didn't enjoy, I don't know if it was the last episode or the episode before, the fact that they forced them to choose. Like, when they go on the journey, it's like, okay, you're going to choose once or twice. Right? Like, are you going to, like, you're losing your vote no matter what because you're going on this track. And so I also don't like that the players cannot choose to not want to participate. That's, I mean, obviously it's the game. You're kind of at the mercy of the producers, but like, I would like to choose whether or not I want to lose my vote, you know, in this situation. And then even with this one, like, they didn't choose whether or not they were going on this trek. If there was a little bit more information given to the winning team to be like, hey, just so you know, there's something's going to happen, or they're going to get some power, whatever, like, maybe have a little bit of a hint that you might want to send someone that you trust a lot, as opposed to someone that you don't trust off your tribe to go on this trek. I just don't like kind of fooling the players in this way. Just for, like, you know, everybody to get an idol and then one of you guys are going to get taken out. I just think it's a little bit unfair. I know Survivor's not fair. I get it, but I don't know. I want a little bit more fairness.
So what we saw here was a little bit of the fallout from the previous tribal, that you know, we see that the Claire is gone, and you know that Josh seems to think that he is in the middle of two pairs now, which I thought was weird for him to think, given what we were shown, which was that he was the target of Franny, Matt, and Claire. I don't know why he would think that he was now, like, in the power position necessarily. Although I think good on him to recognize that he could be in one if mm-hmm. given that there are two pairs. But we're also kind of shown that like that doesn't seem to actually be the case. That Danny, Heidi, Franny, and Matt have seemingly all come together to agree, let's just vote the swing out, which is not really the best play, in my opinion, unless you don't think Josh is with you. Like, basically, the only reason to pitch to the other side to vote out Josh is if you think Josh will not side with you. Because if you do vote out Josh and there's no swap, and then you go to tribal again, now it's a deadlock. It's 2-2 and you've got nothing other than maybe if you're Danny, you have that idol, which could maybe help you. But like, there's a very good chance that you're drawing rocks at that point, which is not what you want to do. So the obvious play is to just pull Josh in, vote out one of Franny or Matt, or vice versa. If you're Franny or Matt, get granted, they don't actually have two votes and make something work like that. But either that was a fake plan and it was just presented to us as a real plan, mm-hmm. or they really just felt like so confident that they could, I guess, just keep winning, or they just really didn't want to work with Josh. I don't know, but it seems like they were willing to go along with the idea of taking Josh out.
So I think the reason why Josh felt that he was in the swing position was because he didn't receive any votes at that tribal. Because Claire didn't get to vote, it seemed like they were like a cohesive voting block or whatever. And so he's probably like, oh, so like what I have with like the quote unquote older players, so that being Danny and Heidi, I have something with them. And like, oh, and now that I know that Matt has this idol, like, oh, I could work with them. And so I think that that's why he didn't realize that his neck was on the line at all. And that was, there was a potential that there could have been a flip. Now, in terms of like voting out the swing, I think that Danny probably doesn't really know where he stands 100%, maybe for the fact that, you know, he does know about Matt's idol. And so I think that he wanted to go into a potential merge situation with four strong numbers instead of potentially being bamboozled by Josh, he might go to the other side. So I think they're just taking out the variable because they're not sure what he will do.
Yeah, kind of a weird call, but it's not really going to matter because we are going to swap around. So yes, we get to a swap situation here after a challenge where my entire draft team apparently is going to get swapped. Carson, Jamie Lynn, and Josh are all going to swap to different tribes. But first, they get a free idol that can only be used up until the merge, or at least when all players are on the same beach, which implies that the merge is not going to really be the merge yet again. Mm-hmm. But basically, as I said before, this is just pretty much if you go to tribal, play this idol on yourself. It might as well have only been good for one tribal. Like, that was clearly what it was intended for. Never use this idol in any other way. Don't not play it, and don't play it on anybody else. Just use this because it will be worthless to you otherwise.
Which is so frustrating because, like, wait, I mean, I don't necessarily want people to be swap screwed because, yes, they're in a really bad position. But, like, I also don't want, like, the winning tribe to, like, potentially have someone go home because they sent someone to an island on a trek. They get an idol and then they use it on themselves and get somebody from the winning tribe out of the game. So it just, like, it took away all the power from the winning tribe choosing people to go on this trek. And now potentially one of them could go home if they lose the immunity challenge. So I also don't particularly enjoy that aspect of it as well.
Yeah. It's a tricky situation. I do think that giving them an idol is better than not giving them an idol, because
yes,
with no idol, then it's both forced in that person probably just gets voted out, and boring in that it's very obvious and like there's nothing that you can do about it kind of way. But yeah, it's still a pretty forced situation with giving them an idol. I think maybe there's some idea that like you could tell people that they have an idol, like, hey, they're coming back to your tribe, but they've got an idol now. Or, you know, I think the way they did it is again, it's fine for the way that they're looking to create the show. Like, I actually, like I said, I do think it works. It's just like not exactly the Survivor that we're used to. But I think it can lead to some interesting scenarios, which we kind of saw But I would say again, my biggest critique of the episode is that I didn't feel like I got the most interesting parts from it in the edit. In that, like, most of what we got was Carolyn being annoyed. Like,
here, Carolyn, here's your plan. Here's how you're going to stay safe another day. Here, vote with us and we're going to go and we'll vote out John.
Which is fine, but like, you know, it's like, okay, so Carolyn's mad about being the decoy vote, but like, what about this like whole Josh situation with the idol, right? Like, are they concerned about Josh having like this? Every time I listen to the exit interview every week, I'm like, this is what I expected to see. They're talking about the stuff that I expect to be in the thought process of these players, mm-hmm. but that's not shown in the edit.
Yeah.
And like they were talking about like, yeah, we were concerned that Josh had an idol. And like, yeah, we were concerned that Carolyn might like flip on us. And like, we're not seeing this stuff. I want to see more. And it was also like, she's talking about like, okay, so, one of the things she talked about is that like, Carson and Jam Jam were both seen as middle votes in that first, in that last tribal. Mm-hmm. And that like they were more of a pair and it was less Jam Jam and Carolyn and more Jam Jam and Carson, and that she had been really playing up like her reliability to them, and that like it, like Jam Jam and Carolyn were not like these two peas in a pod like they were trying to make it out to be, and that's kind of why there was genuinely some tension there that in this episode just like came out of nowhere. And I fully thought was a ploy by the edit, but apparently was something that was building under the surface before that we just hadn't been shown before. And it's just like, I just constantly feel like I'm missing context from these episodes.
Oh, I totally agree. When I was seeing that Jam Jam and Carolyn aren't getting along, I was like, wait, I thought that they were like two peas in a pod. I thought that they were like doing this together. I was like, okay, this is the alliance that I want to see go through the game. Like, I was excited about it. And now they actually don't get along at all. I was like, oh, when did that happen? I'm like, okay. I think though, what I've noticed in the most recent seasons of Survivor is that instead of showing us what's going on, they want like surprise, like just to surprise it on us for whatever shock value. And they think that that's more interesting than us kind of understanding how the progression or how a vote comes about. Or, you know, I think they don't want to rely on people strategizing and having conversations and hearing their confessionals about certain players. They kind of want to just surprise us in the end and be like, you didn't know that, guys. So I think that that's just like a new kind of editing strategy that they're having that for me isn't working, because I like being along on the journey so I can predict what I think is going to happen. I don't really like the surprise element being like, oh, I had no idea that that was even an element in how I'm kind of contextualizing what's going to happen at this tribal.
Yeah. And that's the thing for me, right? Where it's like, and it's happening on the other tribes too, where like on Soka last episode, I thought that Clara was in a solid position, mm-hmm. But it turns out Danny was against her and we didn't find that out until last episode. And I thought that like, you know, like Claire, that Heidi was maybe with her. And then last episode they told us, no, Heidi and Danny are actually a duo. It's like, okay, I'm finding that out right before it's relevant. And then like, it's the same sort of thing where like they told us in the episode that it was relevant, in Helen's boot, Jam Jam and Carolyn are a duo. Okay. I didn't know that before, but now I know that. Let's keep that in mind until this episode where it's like, they're actually not a duo. It's like nothing matters. Like nothing transfers from episode to episode. The like overarching storyline for me is just constantly like fuzzy, because every episode they introduce like new information that either contradicts what came before or is just like a new development that they tell us rather than show us happening. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like a brand steal at times. Like,
it totally does.
This is what's happening next. And I mean, I think a prime example of that is like, what is going on the Ratu tribe? Like, we're going to see Carson swap over to the Ratu tribe. And Matthew is just like, time to tell Carson about Jamie Lynn's fake idol. And it's like, why? What is happening over there? I have no idea.
No, I thought that, I mean, I do feel personally up until this episode, I found that Matthew kind of spills a lot. And like, I'm wondering if it's going to come back and bite him later on in the season. But I was like, I was completely floored when I saw him not even having any sort of lead up to like getting to know each other. It's like, hey, I've never met you or talked to you before. Let me go tell you everything that's going down on this beach. And he has no idea if he has any other information or if he's actually just a spy and he's going to go back to his trial. Like, he doesn't know what's going to be going on with Carson. So I was not shocked because it was Matthew, but like, I couldn't believe that he decided to tell Carson all this stuff. Like, it's a little messy.
Yeah. And it's just like who is Kane with? Is he alone?
Maybe. I don't know.
Right. Who is Brandon with? Is he with Lauren? Is he with Matthew? Like,
well, I heard we saw that he might be with Lauren.
Episode. Right. But like, is that real? Like, what has Lauren done since episode one? Like, I have no idea. You know, like they told us in the last episode that Matthew and Jamie Lynn were together.
Right.
Because he gave her a fake idol.
Yeah, plant lady, plant daddy. Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's like, I put in so much work to make that happen. And I'm like, I don't know. It just seemed like it kind of happened on my end. And then how all of a sudden he's like giving Carson, is he doing that because he feels desperate in this drive? Is he doing that because does he need that number? Why is he doing these things? Why is anybody doing anything beyond just like these two people are doing this thing and this? It's just so frustrating to me at times.
I know. Like, I totally agreed. And I've kind of learned to watch Survivor now as just entertainment because following the strategy doesn't really exist anymore. It's just kind of avoiding booby traps and like getting new information every week. So I have been watching it a little bit differently. And that's why I found it a little bit challenging to rank these players just because I'm like, well, I don't know if what I'm saying is true. Like, I don't know if how I'm assessing things is like what's actually happening. So I don't want to look like a dodo and like later on be like, oh, like you didn't know that they're against each other. Like, yeah. So, you know, I'm just going to be easy on myself and realize that I don't have enough information to make accurate rankings here. But I'll do my best.
Well, I did like Carson's strategy here. Going into the Ratu tribe and basically saying, Jam is running things. I was next. I love this. I mean, why not? Because you're in a very vulnerable position and you might as well just like make the most sort of like appealing pitch to this tribe that like, I'm somebody that you can take in. I was going to be next on that tribe. I have no loyalty to them. I thought that this was very well played by Carson and seemingly worked well enough to get Matthew to try to take him in. But again, I have no idea what Matthew's real motivation was, but I thought it was well played by Carson.
Yeah, I'll give Carson definitely a lot of props here. You know, he's such a young guy and we know that he's a very smart guy, but you know, you never know how he's going to be able to fare with all these older adults on in the game. And so, yeah, I thought that was like he came up with this. He executed it quite well. But my one question is, what do you think is going to happen when they meet on the map for either a reward or immunity challenge, and they're going to see that someone that went on the trek is still there? It's going to let everybody know that person potentially has an idol or has something to be able to protect them. And now wouldn't it put potentially Carson in a more dangerous position, like with them maybe faking him out and trying to, you know, anyways, it's just everything's going to be kind of spoiled and he might lose some of the trust that he's built with people for not letting them know that he has an idol. Or who's the other person that went on the trek?
Jamie Lynn.
I don't think she told them either. And so it just might not look great that they weren't being completely transparent when they find out that there's probably an idol that was in play.
Yeah, it should be a pretty dead giveaway that Josh had an idol. It should put some heat on. The thing is that while it might lose them some trust and some of the inroads that they were making, at the same time, it's not the worst thing in the world for people to know you have an idol because it just means that you're protected, right? Mm-hmm. And that they need to come up with backup and alternative plans, and that provides openings, right? And I think there is a fair enough excuse of like, yeah, I just walked into a totally new tribe of four other people that I don't know any of you. And like you've all been working together for all this time. Like I wasn't just going to immediately tell all of you that I have an idol. And so I think that like there's, you know, there's some ways out of that, that it's not the worst thing in the world, but it's definitely something to consider that, yeah, when you see Josh standing on that mat, you're like, okay, he probably had it. Come on.
Yeah. And so they're going to be like, Carson, what's going on here? Something you're not telling me? They're going to like shake him upside down.
Yeah. So then we see on the Soka tribe, Jamie shows up and they very much suspect that she has an idol. So much so that Danny is going to go through her bag and he says this.
The rules of normal ethical actions don't apply here, at least not in my book. And we're reading my book.
Reading his book. I mean, I always feel like a pang of like, oh, don't do it. But I kind of agree that you're on Survivor, like hide your idol then. Don't have it in your bag if you don't want someone to potentially find it and out you for having it. But she didn't have it in her bag, so she took a page out of her own book and kept that.
Bing!
Exactly. She didn't keep it in there. Well, she has her fake idol, or like the, she thinks it's real, but her fake idol and the idol that she has on the trek. So where? Mm-hmm.
Jamie has two idols, one of which is good until the merge, one of which is fake, which is pretty funny. And you could see a scenario where she ends up like giving away either the fake or real idol to somebody else. Like, imagine she plays the real idol on someone else, thinking that's the more expendable one, thinking she has the real one in her back pocket, or even playing the real one on somebody else first and then playing her fake one on herself and then finding out it's fake. Like, there's some good things that could happen from this and some very bad things that could happen from this, but they're all kind of like silly cringe things, which I think is what Survivor Production is looking for.
I'm not a fan of like fake idols. I mean, okay, I prefer if a player makes it, I'm fine with it. That's them using their own strategy. I'm not personally a fan of production coming in and putting these fake idols out there because they're going to look decently real. They're going to have materials that you won't necessarily be able to find on the beach. So it's going to be easy to fool somebody. And then I don't like the feeling of somebody thinking that they have a real idol and then they go play it and just, I don't know. Is that what we're waiting for? Just to see them have egg on their face? Like, it's just like, oh, like Sarah watching this week's episode. Like, I don't, she might've found out beforehand, but like, imagine she had played it and then went home. Like, oh, it's just so gut wrenching. On a game like Survivor, when idols are so powerful and you know, it's for $1 million and just having a fake one and then getting duped by it, it's just like, it's so painful.
Yeah, what I thought was most interesting from this searching of the bag was the way that it was edited, because searching somebody's bag is something that has been pretty much like entered into it's common practice in Survivor. Mm-hmm. People do it all the time.
Yeah.
But for some reason, this one felt particularly like shady, right? The way that they showed him going through her clothes and then justifying it afterward, like, hey, this is Survivor. We're, you know, in my book, we do it this way, right? The rules of normal ethical actions don't apply. Like, I think there were a lot of Survivor watchers who last season, it barely even registered that they went through like Gabler's bag, right? Were like, oh, how shady of Danny to go through her bag like that. Just because of the way it was portrayed versus the way it's been portrayed other times where you don't actually see it happening. It's just kind of like, yeah, it's just a thing that happens. So I thought it was interesting that they really like zoomed in on this, and it makes me feel like, even though Danny has been doing villainous things up until now, it's been played off as pretty like, hey, he's pretty funny. And like, that was kind of a funny line too. It makes me feel like Danny is going to be transitioning into a more villainous player moving forward, potentially.
Well, I'm wondering if the reason why they showed it this way is because there was nothing in the bag. So maybe they would have, if the idols were in the bag, then maybe they might have showed it a little bit differently, because if I'm not mistaken, when Gabler's back, they did find whatever they were looking for, right? So maybe that's why they're showing it differently. But I could also see him turning into a villain. But I got to meet Danny a couple weeks ago for Bryson Wen Presents here in Toronto. And he's like the nicest guy. And so like seeing that he's going to be transitioning into the villain, I'm like, no, no. But he was honestly like super... way nicer than I thought he was going to be. He was more like, he kind of comes across as like the kind of a, like a bro jock kind of guy. And like, he's not like that at all. So the fact that he's going to transition into the villain, I can't even see it because he was such a sweetheart in real life.
All right. Well, we will see. I mean, that's because that's the thing. Like, again, like his actions have been, I think, quote unquote villainous, but he does like have a charisma to him. And it's the same thing with the, in my book, and we're reading my book, like he's got funny lines,
yeah,
which make it play off in a certain way. I just thought it was interesting the way that they edited this, given that this is such common practice, but they really just like honed in on it and made it seem weirder than it normally would be. Or at least like at the very least, just shined a light on how weird it usually is. Like, like it did kind of make me think about like all the other times people went through their bag. Like when I think about going through your bag, I didn't think about the fact that like you're rummaging through their underwear. Like, like it's so much weirder than like the euphemisms that we'd normally use, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that was strange, but, that's sort of like what we had, you know. We see that the Tika tribe is going to lose the immunity challenge and they will be headed to tribal. The plan is to, set Carolyn up as the decoy vote. And this is how Jam Jam pitches it to her.
No offense. They think I'm a threat and you're not. But don't get offended by that.
Like, if anybody ever says, don't get offended, but, or anything of that, it's like, they're going to get offended, Jam Jam. Like, nobody wants to be the decoy vote, whether you're a threat or not a threat. Nobody wants to hear that if something happens, you're willing to let them go home. That sucks.
I'm surprised. And so in Sarah's exit interview with Rob, which I thought was great, by the way, I thought she was really fantastic in that interview, like very gracious and humble. Like, Rob was like, what could you have done differently with the knowledge you had? And she was like, well, one of the main things is that I should have been the decoy vote. Like, we knew that Carolyn was unhappy with it. I would have been much more chill about it. We should have done that. And Rob was like, yeah, but could you have known that at the time? She was like, yeah, I probably could have. Like, that was bad of me. Like, here's a bunch of other mistakes that I also made. Like, I thought she was just very, very good about that. But I will say from my perspective, at least, it kind of makes sense for Sarah why she would be a little hesitant to be the decoy vote, right? You know, at least a little bit, because it is a dangerous position to be in. And if, you know, if Jam Jam is like, nah, it should be Carolyn, there's definitely a part of me that's going to be like, you know what? I'm cool with that. Like, I don't want to be at risk. So I think my bigger critique would be for Jam Jam, because Jam Jam kind of has the choice, right? If you're Jam Jam and you've got Carolyn and you've got Sarah and you're like, which one of these should be the decoy vote? On one hand, yes, Carolyn is the more believable that you're going to vote her out. But on the other hand, it's Carolyn.
Here, Carolyn, here's your plan. Here's how you're going to stay safe another day.
You know, like, she's clearly not happy about it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just got to give the person that makes the most noise, like, what they want, or they might end up kind of going in another direction.
Well, and I think that what Jam Jam wasn't really considering is that she doesn't think she's a powerful player. She doesn't think that she has an idol. I don't think she thinks that she's strategic at all. And I think he's just basically kind of discounting her as a viable player. And it is saying that he's willing to lose her and not willing to lose Sarah in this position. And so, if I were Jam Jam, I would want to like not make Carolyn feel like that at all, just because like she can be a loose cannon at times. And she is very emotional and she does wild and crazy things. And so I would want to be kind of coddling that a little bit, as opposed to telling her like, hey, basically like you're not as important as I am or Sarah. So you're going to be the decoy vote. And if he has an idol, then, oh, well, you're going to go home. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to think about like, okay, let's say I'm in this position. Let's say I'm Jam Jam or maybe Sarah. And I want Carolyn to be the backup option in case Josh has an idol and plays it for himself. But I don't want her to know that she's the backup option so that she flips on us. And I feel like the way that I would want to do it is I would say, you know, I mean, if I'm Jam Jam, I'd say Carolyn. And if I'd say Sarah. And if I'm Sarah, I'd say Jam Jam. But I would say, you know, one of us, one of Jam Jam or Sarah, we are going to be the decoy vote, Carolyn, because we don't want to put you at risk, right? Get Carolyn to hopefully feel comfortable then and vote with you, vote Josh, and say that the plan is to put all three on Josh and hope that he doesn't play the idol. But secretly, you then, you know, put a vote onto, one of you puts a vote onto Carolyn, right? And then if Josh plays the idol, and theoretically, let's say votes like Sarah and then you have one on Carolyn, then it's, you know, then it's a tie vote. And I don't even know what happens there because you both voters and then both people who are you then, I guess you then re-vote as Jam Jam and Josh if it's on Sarah and Carolyn. And you can say to Josh, like, hey, I'm keeping Sarah no matter what. Vote with me or we're going to have to draw rocks between the two. Although, does Josh have to then draw rocks if he's played an idol? How does it work?
I don't know.
So many confusing rules.
I know, like, as he talked through it, I'm like, wait, I don't know what would happen. Like, because, yeah, no, I have no idea. I guess he would be immune from the votes. So then would just Jam Jam just go home automatically?
Maybe.
Like, there's, actually.
Or maybe then Jam Jam does have to just do what Josh wants. And on the revote, like, okay, you can revote, but if you're deadlocked again, then Jam Jam, you go because Josh is safe.
Yeah, it would be, he would go automatically.
So Jam Jam would just have to vote with Josh against
Sarah. It would be a rock draw then, but instead of being a rock draw, like, the only person drawing rocks would be Jam Jam because Josh would be immune. So yeah, I think Jam Jam would automatically go home if we got to that point.
Okay, so maybe my plan doesn't work. But
yeah, Jam Jam goes home in that case.
So maybe if I'm Jam Jam, I want the votes on me. I want to be the decoy vote so that we can play that strategy.
Right, because then, yeah, because if it's a tie, then they're going to be safe if they can't come to an agreement. Yeah.
Either way, it's a very complicated situation. But I think in general, I guess the real thing to do then would be to tell Carolyn she's not the decoy and then to go to Josh and use her as the decoy anyway.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And she could deal with her after. Like, be like, you voted for me. And we're like, we know, sorry, but you're here. We're all here now.
Let's- yeah. I mean, either he plays the idol and then Carolyn leaves or he doesn't and he leaves. And either way, and then it, like, if he voted Carolyn and left, be like, what? I don't know why he voted you. Either way, though, it's 2-1 now, and you don't know that she has an idol, which can mess things up. But, like, you know, at least you've made it through. Anyway, it's a weird situation, and this is the situation they're in. They're gonna get to tribal, and they have this fake/real/fake/real argument. That includes
bye, Felicia. You know, I'm just saying.
Who's Felicia?
I'm Felicia.
Is so, bye Felicia? What, that was from Friday, right? Was that from Friday?
The origin of it?
Yeah, bye Felicia. I'll have to. I should have looked that up. I forgot, but there is an origin from it. I'll see if I can find it right now.
Yeah, I think it's Friday. I think that's the origin of it. But yeah, I mean, I just think it's very funny to have Jeff being,
like, who's Felicia?
Who's Felicia?
Come on,
like,
Jeff.
Do we think that Jeff has never heard this phrase before, or do we think that he's genuinely just trying to stir things up by asking who he's, like, okay, that's the saying, but who's the real Felicia in this circumstance? Because I'm kind of assuming it's the former, that he really doesn't know
like who Felicia is.
Yeah.
I would say that he probably doesn't know who Felicia is. I don't feel like Jeff has seen Friday. I don't know if he's in, like, you know, the world of having these, like, knowing all these slang joke terms and stuff like that, even though it was really, really popular at one point.
Yeah.
But I don't think he knows. I think he's just like, he's out on his perch with his gargoyle. Like, I don't think he knows who Felicia is or what, where the story came from.
My understanding, based on both the episode and Sarah's exit interview, is that this argument at Tribal about Felicia was semi-planned in the sense that, like, it was intended to be a farce, a decoy for Josh, to throw Josh off, to make it seem like they were voting for Carolyn, that Josh was safe, he shouldn't play his idol. But also, like, so Jam Jam is doing this feeling like this is fake. This is, we're doing such a great job of throwing Josh off. But for Carolyn, even though it was planned to be fake, she may also have felt like this is also real, though. Like, this is fake and planned, but also real. And that apparently after the argument, Carolyn went to Josh, whispered in his ear, and Sarah does not know what she said, but she thought that Carolyn was saying, let's put the votes on Jam Jam, which is why she didn't play her idol after Josh did. So she thought Carolyn was betraying them in that moment for real after the fake argument, but thought that because the argument was with Jam Jam, that the votes fall on Jam Jam and not her. And so I believe, I think, like, that's about as good as an understanding as I think we can get until we can hear from Carolyn or Josh at this point.
Now, why do you think Carolyn decided to choose Sarah, though, as the person that she wanted to vote out over Jam Jam? Because, like, she doesn't seem to get along that well with Jam Jam. So does she just think she can work better with him than with Sarah? Like, I was wondering why Sarah ended up being that vote there.
I don't know. I don't know if Sarah knows.
We'll never know.
I think Sarah thinks it may come more from Josh's end, because she was pretty, like, she feels like she made a mistake by really, like, questioning Josh about his job and stuff.
A bit of a misstep on Josh's part here.
Like, well, yeah. But, like, at the same time, like, sure, it's a mistake by Josh, but at the end of the day, you know, the bigger mistake is from the person who doesn't have the power, right? And so, you know, yes, Josh is making an obvious lie for no reason, but you don't need to call him out on it. You know, like, calling him out on it means that he's now going to be wary of you because he's worried that you know his lie. So, you know, I think maybe a lesson to be learned that in Survivor, if somebody's making an obvious lie, just act like you believe him, even if you don't, right? Because if you act skeptical, they're going to be like, okay, well, this person is not somebody that I can work with because they don't believe my lies.
You have a good point there. I could see Josh being the one that brings Sarah to the forefront because, yeah, Sarah is the one that could out him potentially as being a liar in this situation. So, yeah, that makes sense to me.
It's also possible, I think Sarah mentioned that her and Carolyn, like, didn't have, like, the best relationship necessarily, and that they never really connected. So that could be part of it, too. You know, either way, it does fall onto Sarah here. And Josh does, in fact, play the idol on himself. And let me tell you, I was watching this episode and I saw Josh say he was going to use the idol on Carolyn. And I preloaded the one in the Stockwatch for Josh if he was going to do that. I was so ready to drop that bomb on him. I was like, I cannot believe this. Sarah, I don't think, knew for sure whether or not that was ever a real plan by him. If it was, like, I'd almost give him a one by proxy, even though he ended up changing his mind. What in the world are you thinking, using an idol on Carolyn there in that spot? But he ultimately doesn't. He uses it on himself. So, you know, it's he's okay. He's not disowned from my draft team. But it was close, Josh. It was close. So I don't know what you were thinking.
Maybe he was just saying that just to make
right.
Carolyn feel,
that's what I'm hoping,
safe and feel like you can trust each other. Like, I'm willing to play my idol on you. I've shared this information with you. So it could have been just said just to bring Carolyn in. And if that's the case, it worked and he got it, the person that he wanted out of the game, and to use the idol that's doesn't have that much value after a couple more tribals. So,
yep. So that's the episode. We lost Sarah. Should we rate these players?
Let's do it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Here they are up on the screen.
This is all that's left. It seems
this is all that's left so far. Wow. Yeah. And Sarah has been voted out. This is where we were last week, with Sarah now being voted out, grayed out, on the screen. New effect here on the Survivor Stockwatch.
So Big Brother image. Memory wall of you.
Right. So we're going to swap, Carson over, bring, Jamie Lynn.
Oh, that's in
down,
the tribes.
And then, Taryn. Josh. Is gonna
What's
come
this
over.
New software?
Look at that. Yeah.
Well, it's not Tearmaker. Is it something like Tearmaker?
No, it's just an image in Figma.
Oh, fine. But great. It's great. It's great.
So here we go. This is these are the new tribes. Let's start with Tika, who went to tribal here. Now, previously we had Jam Jam, Carolyn, and Carson on top with Sarah on the bottom. It seems like Sarah briefly moved, jumped over Josh and Carolyn, but then got voted out anyway because of Josh's idol. Let's start with Sarah. How would we rate Sarah as the person voted out here? I would honestly say again, like, this is the fourth vote out in a row where I'm like, a lot of extenuating circumstances here. it seems like if nothing had changed, it's possible she could have survived potentially. Like the Jam Jam Carson duo might have picked her over Carolyn, and then maybe Carolyn plays her idol, which would have also been unlucky. But that maybe she, you know, had a chance here, but ultimately gets voted out. Could have been voted out anyway. Josh comes over, and she still should have been good if not for the plan to make Carolyn the decoy, which she admits she could have interceded with. But then even then, it wouldn't have mattered. I don't think Carolyn flips, except for Josh has an idol, which means that she's in a lot more trouble. Now, there are some flaws that we can point out. One being her relationship with Carolyn was clearly not strong enough. The way that she, you know, she did not connect with Josh enough. She recognized that she should have worked harder on Josh, especially knowing that he might have had an idol. And then honestly, I think her biggest fault in this episode which, like, sorry for you, Sarah. But even though it was fake, you thought it was real and you did not play that idol. Yeah. So while it didn't directly contribute to her being voted out, I think it was actually the biggest error she made in this episode and probably why I would have her the lowest of like the people voted out so far.
Well, I mean, yeah, you said like a lot of unlucky situations with Sarah. But she also didn't play well, you know, like,
yeah, right.
You know, like, yeah. she, you know, if you're fearing what's going to happen in this tribal council, like, you know, play that idol. You just found it. Play it. Keep yourself safe. You have this new element of Josh coming into the mix here. You have to assume on this new era that he's going to have something that potentially is going to take you out of this game. You don't know everything that he's going to be doing. You already know that he's lied once. So, like, who knows what else he's lying about? And so I would have been like super scared and I'd be like, I have to play this. Like, I don't know what's going on in this tribe. This is a new element to the game. Josh coming into our group. No, I'm going to play it. I'm going to make sure that I'm safe here to see another day. If I misplay it, it's better than me going home. And so, yeah, I agree that she played badly there. When she was left out of the Helen vote, she hasn't seemed to fix her relationships with people. She said that she knows that she's on the out still and she's trying to make some waves with Carson. So we're not sure if that would have played out a little bit differently if Carson stayed on their tribe, but I just didn't feel like she was doing that much to better herself in the tribe. And so other than potentially being decent physically, she didn't play that well for me. So am I going to give my number?
Sure.
I think I'm going to have to give her a 3.
I agree. I went with a 3 for Sarah. Just, you know, the main thing, and I have to go to a 2. I have to go to a 2 because she needed to play the idol. She needed to play the idol, even though it was fake. The thing is, there she thought that Carolyn was flipping. And if Carolyn is flipping, and that means that Josh is potentially playing an idol, and once you see Josh playing the idol, Josh plays the idol. Carolyn was whispering to him right before he did. So Josh and Carolyn are probably together. He's not probably voting Carolyn, which means there's literally only 2 options and you are one of them. It's Jam Jam or you. That's 50-50 odds at best. And that is exactly the kind of place where you play an idol, in my opinion. You play that idol. It gets re-hidden at camp. You know, the next day you go and you try to find it again. Worst case scenario. And like, let's imagine she had played. Okay. Let's talk this through. What would have happened if she had played the idol and it had been real? Right. Because then all votes are nullified.
Right.
And only Jam Jam or Carolyn can leave. Carolyn can no longer play her idol. Although I guess in this case, we're assuming that she doesn't have one, but it doesn't really matter either way. Then what happens? Do they all revote?
So I think maybe Jam Jam and Carolyn would just go to rocks right then.
I guess Josh and Sarah would revote as the 2 safe people.
But it's going to be the
and then but then if they deadlock, yeah, I guess rocks. We just draw rocks between Jam Jam and Carolyn.
Yeah, that sucks. So, I mean, I guess that's what they want, right? Like,
I guess what I'm saying there is like her playing that idol isn't even a guaranteed she loses her ally Jam Jam. It's still very possible that Carolyn leaves and now she's up 2-1 on Josh, who doesn't have an idol anymore and is totally fine. So it's
and Carolyn
just like,
would go home with an idol. Ooh, ouch.
Yeah. So I just feel like it's such a gimme to play it. And I get like it's in the moment, right? Like she has to think of all this in the moment, which is tough. But it's hard to even like give her that because she said prior to tribal, if he plays it, I'm playing it, which means she was thinking ahead of time.
She should have. Well, yeah. And also too, like I don't know if I would have the nerves of steel to be able to sit through these teeny tiny tribal councils and not play my idol. Like whether I think that it's going to happen to me or not, like as soon as someone plays an idol with a tribe of 4 people, I'm going to play my idol and just be like, I don't know what's going to go on with the votes here. I'm just going to make sure that I'm safe.
Yeah.
The tribes are so small. If it's a bigger tribe, yes, I can see maybe sitting on it because numbers will be in your favor. But the fact that there's so few people here to vote, I would play it for sure.
And I had thought of this too. Joe in the chat points it out. She also had the advantage.
Yeah, she'd get everything back.
The inheritance advantage. So if she saw Carolyn whispering to Josh, probably warning him to play his idol potentially, She could have used her inheritance advantage ahead of time, because I think you had to play it ahead of time, planning on just playing her idol regardless to keep herself safe in this very treacherous
and then get an idol back.
Tribal. Get her own idol back. And then if Josh played one too, get his too, and potentially have two idols coming out of this tribal and having played it and guaranteeing herself safety. Like,
maybe she forgot that she had that advantage.
She had some options here. At least from her perspective, given that her idol wasn't actually real.
Well, it doesn't even matter though if her idol's not real. If you had to play your, she knows that things are weird. She's not sure what's going to happen in this particular tribal. She has this advantage. She knows that she thinks that she has a real idol. If she plays that, exactly, knowing that you're going to get at least your idol back and you'll still be in the game, that's great. And if anybody plays anything else during that tribal, you're going to get that as well. Yeah. It kind of was like a play an idol, get one free card.
Yeah.
She didn't use it. And if she had played her fake idol first, and like Jeff would probably have held on to it. And is there any more idols or whatever? He'd probably done something dramatic. But like more people would have played an idol as soon as somebody plays an idol in such a small tribe. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. she would have ended up at least, well, I guess she would have still been gone. But you know, if her idol was real, it would have been pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well,
Sarah.
Anyway. All right.
I want to go to my two now. I'm like, man, like you should have at least played your advantage. Come on.
Yeah. Well, what are you? You can still change if you want. Do you want to go two?
I do.
All right.
I'm sorry, Sarah. I'm sorry. I
like
forgot
I said,
that
great
you had
exit
that.
Interview. She seems lovely. All right. Next up. I think you have to go Jam Jam. I think I would have to go Jam Jam. Oops, I don't want to move the whole thing. I think Jam Jam would be next on the list here. Because he's on the wrong side of this vote, which is not great. And he is now on the wrong side of Carolyn and Josh, potentially, if they are now working together, which it seems like they could be. If they lose another tribal, it's looking like it's probably Jam Jam that would leave, or at least it's not looking great for him. And on top of that, again, like choosing to have Carolyn as the decoy when Sarah is right there, it's just kind of because the thing is, if I'm Jam Jam, best case scenario is you take out Josh. He doesn't play the idol. Next best scenario is Josh does play the idol, but you all voted together and Sarah leaves or Carolyn leaves or you leave, which is a worst case scenario. But like, I get that he's like, oh, if Josh does play the idol, then I want Carolyn to be the one to go instead of Sarah, if that's the case. But that's not as bad as Carolyn flipping on you. Like having Josh play the idol, but you were together means that, okay, I lose Sarah, but I still have Carolyn and still have two against one in the next tribal and he doesn't have an idol and I'm still fine. Worst case scenario, apart from yourself going home, is losing Sarah and also Carolyn flipping to lose Sarah because you tried to use Carolyn as the decoy and now you're in the minority. Now you're the one against the two. This is like, again, pretty much the worst thing that could have happened to him apart from being the one that got voted out himself here. So not great, not great.
Well, and also what's not great is for whatever reason, Carson is using him as the person to be like, to put a target on me. Like, yeah, he's running things over there. And so to me, that's Carson saying that Jam Jam's kind of expendable to me. I'm not willing to keep him protected over there with my false story. And so Why doesn't Carson want to be working with him more closely? I thought that they had a better relationship than this. And so Jam Jam doesn't even know that he's starting to be in hot water with other tribes. And so people are going to be looking at him in a completely different way. And whatever he's been doing on his tribe when Carson was there is kind of made him be this target. And I don't think that's going to be good for him moving into the game. So yeah, he's not in a great spot. He's one up from going home for sure. But I gave him a four.
Okay. Yeah, I just feel like this is a big fumble. He was in the, you know, decision making position on the tribe, and I feel like he made the wrong decisions. And unlike, you know, somebody like Sarah or some of the people voted out who, you know, and just to be clear, when we vote, when we rate the players who are voted out, we are kind of artificially boosting their rating most of the time because obviously they're out of the game. So just because Jam Jam is as low or potentially like close to as low as somebody's voted out doesn't mean that like that doesn't make any sense because we're kind of rating that player on how they played on their way out versus Jam Jam, who's going to be like both how he played and now his position moving forward. So for me, I think I've got to give Jam Jam a 3. I just feel like this was a mistake on Jam Jam's part. It really put him in a bind. I do give him a little bit of leeway for the kind of a tricky situation he was put in, but I do think he had options more so than Sarah did. And ultimately, you know, it did not work out here. Now, I don't think he's dead in the water. I think it's possible he can win Carolyn back, or maybe they just don't go to tribal again. But yeah, a lot of bad things in this episode. Not a great episode for Jam Jam. Quite the fall.
And well, the reason why I gave him a 4 is that he is still a likable person. Him and Carolyn are kind of, they're similar but different. So I think that that's why they're butting heads a little bit. But I think that he might be able to get in with other people, come emerge. I don't think necessarily Carson's words is going to be too bad for him with everybody else. I think that he might be able to be like, hey, you love me. I'm Jam Jam. I'm fun. Like I get along with people and people might still like him. So it's with the hope that he is able to use his personality to kind of get in with some people if he can get to merge or a real swap.
Yes. Okay. So then Josh and Carolyn, and this is just such a tricky one here because really? it's for me. Yeah. It's tough because on one hand, Josh played the idol correctly. Mm-hmm. He used it on himself. He survived this tribal and he's probably in a decent spot moving forward. Although I think Carolyn is probably in a better spot. Carolyn has the choice between Josh and Jam Jam more so than anybody else. I think Carolyn has the most options on this tribe. Plus she has an idol. So Carolyn is like the safest in the tribe. So she gets an advantage there. But on the other hand, again, like Josh correctly plays the idol. He wins Carolyn to his side, which is great. So like good plays there, but he seemingly almost played his idol on her, which is like, whoa. And then also, I feel like we were led to believe that he was in a lot of trouble over on Ratu. On Soka. And that he doesn't necessarily have a home there, which would be very bad if he didn't. Granted, I feel like, why wouldn't they welcome him back with open arms if a merge came? So I feel like that's maybe not the worst thing in the world. So kind of back and forth on that. And then from Carolyn's perspective, flipping really doesn't make a lot of sense if she was connected to Jam Jam. But given that we've kind of found out that maybe she wasn't as connected to Jam Jam as before, is like, okay, that makes the flip make a little more sense, but also means that her social game is like that much worse than we thought. That she really had nobody on this tribe and doesn't make me feel confident about her ability to connect with people in the future. And she will likely need to because she just betrayed her tribe. And like, where does that put her? Does that mean that she's going to go with Josh over to Soka, and try to work with them? Can she reconnect with Jam Jam, who she already didn't have a great relationship with and now has betrayed? And so like, I don't know where she goes from here, but for the short term, she's very safe on this tribe. She has the idol and she can choose between Josh and Jam Jam probably. So for me, it's like, they're both a very mixed bag. I don't know. Where do you stand?
Well, okay, my one thing that I'm going to just ask you about Carolyn, her vote, why didn't she just vote with Jam Jam, tell Josh, like, hey, is the votes are on you, vote out Josh, and kind of save Josh, so she's still going to have his loyalty, and Jam Jam doesn't know necessarily that Carolyn tipped him off. I mean, obviously don't do the whispering in camp, or at tribal, do that beforehand, but just be like, hey, I'm going to keep my cover. I'm going to look like I'm voting you out. This is what's happening. Play your idol. We're going to put the votes on you and you're going to still be here in the game. And then I think that she might be able to move a little bit better like later on. It's just not a good look to have, you know, Jam Jam, if he gets over there being like, Carolyn completely betrayed us. This is what she did. And she'll do the same to you. She's someone that's irrational, I think someone was saying here in the chat. And so she can be, like, she wasn't thinking that fully through. So I wish that she had just, if she's going to be a double agent, like, just vote out Josh. Don't vote out Sarah. So Jam Jam knows that you completely turned against him.
I think that's fair, but the issue is that Josh doesn't have really any incentive to hold that secret. If you tell him to play the idol, like, why give you all of the power in the tribe? The second they go to tribal again, Josh should go to Jam Jam and be like, hey, just so you know, Carolyn told me to play that idol. Like, you know, because you don't want to give Carolyn the option of like voting you out and going with Jam Jam, like nothing happened. You know, I think that you run the risk of that. And like, that's, I mean, that secret's probably coming out at some point. And you're just delaying the betrayal, right? You might as well get it out of the way and start trying to heal that wound as soon as possible.
Okay. I hear that. I think that Carolyn's in a better position than Josh for the fact that she does have this idol. And I want to give her some props for the fact that she did make the X's, the red X on the birdcage and the red X by the log. And Sarah did leave this game believing that she had a real idol that, you know, Carolyn planted. And I didn't think that Carolyn would have gone that far into, you know, how she was going to hide this this fake idol. So I'm going to give her a little bit of credit there. The fact that she's also hasn't told anybody that we know of that she has found the real idol or that she's the person that got into the birdcage, I think it's impressive because I didn't think that she'd be able to keep quiet about that personally. So I think that she's in a better position than Josh. Josh, I'm not sure how I feel about him as a game player for the fact that, you know, what we were talking about, him saying, like, I'm going to play it on you, Carolyn. We don't know for sure if that was just strategic and him saying that or if, like, he really intended on doing that. So I don't know, like, how good a player he actually is. The fact that he's completely oblivious to the fact that on his original tribe, they wanted to take him out next makes me think that he's not a savvy player. So I don't know. I guess I think that he's less savvy than Carolyn, which is hilarious. But yeah, this is the right order. But where do you have them ranked number wise?
I think I'd give Josh a 5. And then Carolyn, I'm going back and forth. I feel like her short term position is good again. But like, I just don't know what her long term options are, having just, again, betrayed her tribe to go with Josh, who doesn't even have a great in with his own tribe. It's just a tricky spot, but I think ultimately, given that she, you know, she pulls this off, and she still has an idol and she's still safe, I'll give her a 6. But I was definitely like flirting with the 5 here for sure.
I'm one up for both of them. Okay. Just because, I mean, I'm only coming here once, you know, it's not like I don't have like all my rankings up until now. So mm-hmm. I gave Josh a 6. Just because he, you know, as you said, played the idol correctly. He was able to stay in the game and like put a rift between the people. Like, you always want to find those cracks. He found those cracks and he was able to get Sarah out here of the game. And so that shows a little bit of game savviness, we'll say. He didn't lie very well. So that's why I was like, oh, you know, don't be lying about something that people can catch you on. Like, if you're saying like, I have really steady hands and someone thinks you're a surgeon, why are you saying that you're, what do they call it? A physical, he didn't say physical trainer, right?
No. Yeah. I think he did say physical trainer. I think he might've said that. Yeah.
Anyways, and I was like, we're like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. So, yeah, I feel like if he's going to lie, he could lie a little bit better, but he stayed in the game. He's a little bit better than average, we'll say, at this point from what we've been shown. So I gave him a 6. And then I bumped Carolyn up 1 from that for the fact that she does have a secret idol, for the fact that she did get the person that she voted for out of the game. Yes, she has a rift now with Jam Jam, but does it really matter? She potentially has Josh voting with her. And so she's most likely going to be safe the next round. So I gave her a 7 for that reason and also making that fake idol hunt. So she did okay in certain aspects of this week.
All right. Well, let's talk about Soka, because mm-hmm. I feel like there's at least something to grab onto in that tribe, which is that all 4 of Danny, Heidi, Franny, and Matt seem to be united against Jamie Lynn at this point. But she does have the idol, so who knows where that goes. But at least like we know what's happening as opposed to Ratu, which is just a complete mystery to me.
Faces so, I barely yeah. know.
So let's talk about Soka. I assume Danny is still sort of in the driver's seat here. Mm-hmm. He has Heidi close to him. He's got Franny and Matt against Jamie, Lynn. And in addition to that, Matt still doesn't have another vote at Tribal when they go. Granted, I think there are a couple of things that are making me worried about Danny. One, he is the one that went through Jamie Lynn's bag. And maybe the reason they really like harped on it in the episode is maybe not because he's going to become a villain, but maybe because Jamie Lynn's going to find out that he went through her bag and she's going to be very upset by it. And maybe like Franny and Matt ratted him out, something along those lines.
She's kind of easygoing though. I feel like she would just be like, oh, okay, whatever.
That's fine. Bing.
Yeah, exactly. Like I could see her also being the type of person that would handle it quite well, just because she's quite smiley and kind of happy go lucky.
True. My other concern with Danny is, again, this idea that he was going to vote Josh out at the next Tribal if they had gone. Just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Again, you'd only do that if you were really worried that Josh was going to flip on you and go with Franny and Matt. Now, we know that even if he had tried, it wouldn't have worked because Matt doesn't have a vote. And in addition to that, you just saved Josh from Franny and Matt trying to vote him out. Maybe the votes didn't go in that direction, but like, you know, he knows that it happened. So you should have all the leverage there for Josh. And if you lost it, then that's not a good sign for you. And if you didn't lose it, then it makes no sense to me that you're voting Josh out. So that could all, again, be editing. And, you know, maybe that was not even real in any way. But
you know, it also could have been like, you know, with editing, for the fact that maybe he wants to just have, you know, these four people think that they're all working together so that they don't kind of turn on him and pull Josh in to turn on him. So maybe he's just trying to secure these numbers, but he's probably still, maybe he wasn't actually going to do that.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, it could have been a ploy that they played straight, even though it was actually a ploy. Just to kind of like, again, without anything else to grasp onto, just two kind of red flags for me in the episode. So I still think, you know, he's got the idol. He's in a power position on his tribe. He's still fine, but I'm going to give him a 6, I think, this episode.
Oh, you're harsh this episode. I gave Danny a 7. I'm just a little bit easier on these folks because this is my first time with them this year. But Danny, you know, I do like, even though he's seemingly being a little bit villainous, like he's still kind of a likable villain, you know, with his like, he's flossing when he gets an advantage and like, he's just fun and like kind of happy and wants to be there and wants to play. He's playing hard, but he's not playing. It doesn't seem mean or like, I don't know. I'm liking him so far. And so I don't want to give him a 6. I think he deserves a 7 from me.
All right. Well, I would still, I think, put Heidi number 2. I think that I would also give her a 6. I think that she should be very safe in this tribe. There's no really real reason to vote her out when Danny's sitting right there. Because like nobody even suspects that Danny has an idol. So you wouldn't even vote her out because like, oh, well, Danny might have an idol. And it just feels like she's making merge at this point because she just should be pretty safe. And I think she's locked into a pretty decent position. But other than that, we haven't really seen much from her. So I'm just going to give her a 6.
Yeah, I agree with the 6 on this one. There's a little bit lower than Danny here, but it seems like they're in this together, and they seem like they, you know, she wasn't willing to flip on Danny. Like what Danny says is what she wanted to go along with. We haven't seen their relationships be super close, but they've told us that it is. So I'm going to have to take that at face value. And so I do think that together they're a good duo so far, anyways. And so. Danny is running the show, it seems, and Heidi doesn't have an idol, so that's why I have her just a little bit lower than Danny, so with a 6.
Yeah, and then honestly, the rest is kind of up in the air for me. Jamie Lynn is obviously at the bottom of this tribe, but she has an idol that has to be played before merge, so if this tribe does go to tribal, even more so than in Josh's situation, she should just be auto-playing it. And even if she gets it wrong and plays the wrong one, which she shouldn't, because only like her fake idol she believes is a full idol. And the real idol is the one that has an expiration date. So she should just play that one.
Use
first
that
anyway.
One, obviously.
But even if she did try to play the fake one, she would just play the real one right after when she finds out it's fake. So she should be auto-playing an idol here. Which means that I would imagine that the rest of the tribe has to consider splitting, which means that Franny and Matt are still probably in some bad positions here. because they only have one vote between them, which means that if they do get Jamie to vote one of Danny or Heidi and Jamie plays the idol, it would still only be a tie. And that would not be good, which means that Franny and Matt are likely the two that are in danger of leaving if they go to tribal. So I think I actually would put Jamie ahead of them. But it's still like a weird spot for Jamie. She's in, you know, if somehow they go to two tribals, which doesn't seem super likely, but theoretically possible, then she's in a lot of danger. And she's, once she plays the real idol, she's left with a fake one that now Matthew is telling people she has. And like, that's a weird spot to be. And I don't know where she goes from there. But I would give her a five here. I think she's perfectly safe in this spot, but she's not building anything lasting, which is not good.
So, I think that I give her the same right now. I like the fact that she's, you know, putting manifesting and Bing and, you know, and she's lighthearted and she's a nice presence to be around. But I'm wondering, do you think that the lead up with the bag thing could be maybe how Danny gets kind of out of this situation? Like maybe she is able to flip it on Danny with like with her when they find out that she went through her bag or something like that and then use the idol. I guess without Matt having a boat, it's actually, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's again, like it'll just be
Heidi
2-2.
Into the boat.
I guess if Jamie and Franny voted Danny and Danny and Heidi voted Jamie and Jamie plays the idol, then they could idol out Dan. But once Jamie plays the idol, Danny plays his idol, right?
Oh, right. Danny's an idol. So, I forgot.
Like, it's just, it's, you know.
So then when Heidi goes home, like, I don't know.
But then they don't even have any reason to vote Heidi. Like, I guess if Danny then plays his idol, again, there's no votes cast. And that means that now Jamie and Danny are safe, which means they are the votes. And so they vote respectively, like Franny and Heidi potentially. And then they can just draw rocks. Or sorry, Matt's still an option.
Yeah, Matt's still an option.
So
with no vote.
With no vote. So so then they could vote Heidi and Franny or Heidi and Matt, and then Matt leaves?
I think
because he can't vote, he's the only one that, so he has to leave just because he's the only one that can draw a rock?
Well, can he draw a rock if he can't vote? Like, I don't know.
I think so, yeah, right?
Probably, I don't know.
I don't know.
But anyways, yeah, I was just trying to think that maybe that's what they showed us that because maybe Jamie Lynn's going to be able to get him out with her idol play. But yeah, I forgot that Danny has an idol, so never mind. I think a five is a good position for her to be in. I don't know how it's all going to play out. She does have a real idol, which she has to use, which I think is on good and on her side. I just don't know if she's going to be able to, like, who's she going to pair up with, Franny and Matt? Like, I just don't know how it's going to play out if they do go to tribal. Maybe they won't even go to tribal because this tribe is actually pretty good at challenges usually. But yeah, five. She's middle of the road for me right now. I don't know if she's going to be super savvy with her idol play. But we also haven't seen that much from her on this new tribe. So yeah, cinco.
All right. Well, I do think that Franny and Matt are in the most danger in this tribe. I also think that like there's reason to be slightly optimistic about them. Again, the fact that Danny is saying that they'll vote out Josh over one of them is great for them. And it's not, you know, by any means a guarantee that they are the people that leave if they go to tribal. And I don't think there are going to be many tribals before the merge. So, I think there's now, been five people who are eliminated. So there's 13 people left, which is around the time that they usually do the merge.
Or the fake merge anyways.
Right. So, I think one or two tribals at most. And this is, I think, one of the stronger tribes. I mean, let's be real. Like Tika's looking quite vulnerable here. So I think there's a great chance they both survive. I'm going to give them both fives. If they both survive to the merge, I think they're locked in with Danny and Heidi, which is great for them. They can still pull in Josh potentially, and maybe even now Carolyn. And I think this tribe overall seems to have the best shot once they make the merge at doing something. At running some things because they are the most sort of united. And you know, I don't know. I think they've got a decent shot here. So I'm just going to give them both fives, but still lower than Jamie.
I like both of them. I think that their little flirt mans is cute, but it obviously is putting a pretty big target on the two of them. But I do the fact that I think that Matt would be the target before Franny if they were to try to get someone out and he doesn't have a vote. I just put him a little bit lower. So I do have Franny at a 5, a lower 5 than Jamie Lynn, and then Matt at a 4. Just because he has a lot less power and he has to put trust in Franny and like other people to like keep him safe in this game because he doesn't even have the power of his vote. So yeah, he's just a little bit lower than Franny in his positioning, I feel.
All right. Well, that leaves us with Ratu.
Ratu, who knew? I have no idea who these people are.
I have honestly no clue. Here's the thing. I put Matthew at the top before and I still feel like they're trying to act like Matthew is in charge. But him telling Carson about Jamie Lynn's fake idol, pretending it's a real idol, is just so strange to me. They're making it seem like, okay, he's roping in Carson. But first of all, Carson, I think, is a much more dangerous player than Matthew's giving him credit for. Second, he's potentially trashing his relationship with Jamie Lynn even further than it already potentially was once she finds out it's a fake idol. This is just seems very dangerous to me. Now, theoretically, it could be the beginning of something great, right? It could be Matthew, Carson, Jamie, maybe even all together once they hit the merge. But even that, it's like, that's not enough. That's not enough numbers. Are you trying to also pull in Carolyn and Josh? Cause I don't know if that's going to work. And once Jamie Lynn finds out her idol is fake, like, or that you told Carson about it, like that's potentially dangerous. Who are you connected to on this tribe? I have no idea, but the fact that you're, you know, giving Carson information that your own tribe doesn't have means that Carson, if he feels in trouble, can rat you out to the rest
Absolutely.
Of your tribe. So I'm actually down on Matthew in this episode. I feel like that was a bad play, but only because, again, of the lack of information. I have no idea what context he's in to make this kind of play.
Well, and also what worries me is they keep on mentioning he takes his arm out of the sling. And then we do see previews from the next episode.
Oh, yeah.
So much pain. And like, I know that's kind of informing us of what's to come, but I'm wondering if like, he made a really dumb decision in climbing that rock to try to get crabs. And so then he hurt himself. And then now he's still taking his arm out of the sling at times to go and try and be the hero of the tribe. And then he tells everybody that he builds these games in his backyard. And then he's telling he just tells too much information to people. And they're making it seem like he's like this mastermind player. Yeah, we got a flashback of him hiding in the fake idol. But I don't know. I think that he's actually not in as great a position as they're pretending that he is. And as much as he has like the trinkets, like he has a real idol himself and he knows that Jamie Lynn has a fake idol, I think that he lost a little bit of power there with telling Carson, because I think Carson, he knew not to say anything about his 3D printing of different games and challenges. He seems like he's a bit of a smarter player than Matthew is, or at least knows what to withhold and what to share. And so, yeah, I'm definitely down on Matthew. Every week, I'm kind of like, I don't know if you're going to be that great of a player. I don't know if you're going to be here for as long as you may think you're going to be here.
Okay, hear me out. I think the order I'm putting this tribe in, it's going to be maybe a little weird.
I know.
I'm going to put Matthew at the bottom.
Ooh.
I'm going to put Lauren and Carson at the top because Lauren has 2 votes and Carson has an idol. And then I'm going to put Brandon and Kane in the middle.
I mean... I'm not against this. Like Lauren, we haven't seen that much. She wasn't great in the challenge though. So that kind of docks her a little bit. But Kane also wasn't great in the challenge. Did that happen before or after Carson played with them? No, that must've been after. So Carson was fine in the challenge. And so was Brandon.
Yes. The water challenge. Yeah.
I'm fine with this, to be honest. I'm fine with it.
And so I think I would give Lauren and Carson 6s. Literally Lauren purely because she has 2 votes.
Yeah.
And so I assume that she's in a decent position on the tribe. Carson, I would honestly even consider putting on the top, but he's literally alone on this tribe.
Yeah.
But he has an idol and he got Matthew to tell him information. And I thought his play about, you know, saying that Jam Jam was in control and that he was on the bottom of his other tribe was a good play. So bumping him up 1 point to a 6. Brandon and Kane, I don't think we're even in this episode, so I'm giving them 5s. and then Matthew, I think it's just a weird play that I don't understand, probably because of editing, but sorry, that's all I've got to go on. So I'm going to dock him a point, give him a 4.
I'm not against any of this, Tara. This is pretty good. I mean, I might, if I was doing it last week, Kane would have gone down for me because he messed up the lyrics of the Canadian national anthem. I was like watching, I was like, oh, wow, they're doing the national anthem in the U.S. And I'm like, and he's doing it wrong? So if it was last week, I probably would take him down. But like, I'm into four, fives, and sixes here. We don't know that much what's going on with them. Like, Brandon did seem to be a bit of the shining star during the immunity challenge. Did he talk? Did he have a confessional? I don't think so. Did Kane? I don't think so. So yeah, I can concur with you. Matthew a four, Kane and Brandon a five, and Carson and Lauren a six. That works for
me.
There
you go. All right. Well, we did it then. We got through the Stockwatch.
We did. We still don't even really know these players. It's just so wild. Like, I want to understand these relationships. Like, remember, it is a social game. I want to see them socialize, and I want to know why people are not getting along and why votes are going a certain way. I don't care about people finding fake idols. I want to know, like, why you want to tell on Jamie Lynn that she has one. Like, why? Like, make me understand. So hopefully, as we get through the season, maybe we'll learn a little bit more, but I'm not... I don't know.
I hear you. All right, then. That's what we have for this week on the Survivor Stockwatch podcast. I will, of course, be back next week to talk through next week's episode of Survivor. I'm hoping that once we get to the merge, we start getting a little bit more of a cohesive narrative. But
true.
We will see.
Yeah, because then you're not like having to split it between three different tribes and which two tribes won reward, which two tribes won immunity. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of the three tribe format for this long in the game. I don't like everybody losing their votes and stuff like that. So do you think that they're going to go back to for 45 to two tribes? Are we over the pandemic years of the new era, and we're going to go back to some semblance of normalcy?
They just seem very allergic to like steady gameplay. I think they're very worried about like they are like at the peak of anti-pagongings, right? Like, we haven't seen a pagonging in ages because they are doing their absolute most to make sure it could never possibly happen, which I don't think is like the worst thing in the world because pagongings aren't very fun. But I mean, there's probably a whole like generation of Survivor watchers who don't even know what a pagonging is at this point because yes. The Survivor has created scenarios that don't really allow for it to happen, which again, I think is mostly fine. You don't want that to happen. But at the same time, I think they've gone a little too extreme in terms of trying to control the gameplay. But even then, like, I'm honestly not even that upset about that end of it. Like, I get why some people might be because it's kind of a different game and it's being played differently. But for me, it's mostly just the editing. If you just edited it in a better way, I'd still be down. Like, I just want to like follow what's happening.
Absolutely. And do you think, so before, like, okay, even if they want to do these three tribes, but maybe having it be back to the 39 days, so they have that extra day to have all these confessionals, because if what I'd heard was one day was reward, one day was immunity, one day was confessionals, and then being able to also socialize with people in camp. Like, I think that taking away that day takes away the opportunity to get all these confessionals in, and then also being able to get the camera crew around and see what's actually going on at camp. Like, there's just not as much time to show it or find it. So maybe if they made it, you could keep it your three tribes, if that's what you must do, and come back to 39 days. So we have that extra day to have the extra footage and the extra bonding time and the extra, you know, socializing that's happening on these tribes, on these beaches.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we've got for you this week. Of course, find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'll be watching Survivor live on Wednesday nights. If you want to come and hang out, it's always a good time. Also watching Big Brother Canada live this season, and, you know, playing some games, hanging out, having fun over there. So find me over on Twitch. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Check out all the Big Brother podcasts going on. Again, I'll be back next week for the next Survivor podcast. You can also find some Among Us games over on YouTube. Some of the best ones over there, and with some fun edits. Find some fun over there. Chantel, what do you got going on?
What do I have going on? Well, actually, super fun. Have you been watching at all Australian Survivor, Taryn?
I haven't. I've been told I'm supposed to, though.
I've been told that before. Which one?
Multiple seasons. And then by the time I watch it, everyone's like, it's actually super boring now.
No, okay.
I think this one's almost over and people are still excited about it. So I'll probably go back and watch it.
There's two episodes left. I'm covering it with Sarah from Nerdtainment. We'll be on her channel next week, Tuesday, I believe, at 5 p.m. Eastern. And it honestly is, I would say it's my favorite and the best season of Survivor that I've ever seen out of all of the iterations. And I forced my friend to watch. I said, I'm like, okay, watch Brain versus Brawn and then watch this. And so she actually went and watched all of Brain versus Brawn and then watched this and caught up. And she's like, oh my God, now I'm catching up to your, with all your recaps, because like she just watched them in 1 week. And so she says it doesn't let down, and she got her partner. He doesn't even like reality TV and hates that she's a reality TV junkie. He's in on it and be like, there's not another episode. So just saying, it's held up to the most recent person that I said to go watch it. So I think that you could enjoy it a lot. So just saying, just do it.
All right.
Anyways, come and hang out with us, or me on Reality Realist, three S's. We talk about Survivor, talk about Big Brother, talk about the challenge all the time. So hang out with me there.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here this week. And I will see all of you next time.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.